I hope that this week of Thanksgiving, we kind of kick it off here on Thankful Sunday, but I pray that this week you'll be able to meditate and think on, spend some time in prayer, spend some time where it's just you and the Lord. Turn off that radio, turn off the TV, turn off the noises in your life, and just spend time with God this week and worship Him in Thanksgiving. And it'll help your relationship. It'll help your perspective. Amen. We're going to be in, we'll start off in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm thankful for the ability to see things from a perspective that I don't have to complain about it. Amen. I don't have to. I can choose not to. Amen. And that is good. Amen. That is a blessing. Because otherwise, because we do go through hard times. There are things that are not what we want. Amen. We do go through infirmities. We do have people say things that they said that hurt. There are hardships and pressures in life. But God has given us the ability to see things from a perspective that will enable us to thrive through those things. Amen? But you make that choice. You decide whether or not you're going to be thankful or not. Amen? And don't tell me you're a complaining, grumbler person, but I'm thankful in heart. No. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so if you're constantly complaining and grumbling and murmuring, it's in your heart. And the only way that'll get out of your heart is for you to spend time with Jesus in the Word of God. That is it. Amen. And you got to start counting your blessings and name one by one. And you might need to count. I think it was Kaylee said to me last night, she says, I've been writing down things I'm thankful for. I think she got to 60. Amen. And that's, do that. See how far you can get. Fill up a page. You ought to record yourself. If you're a grumbler, you ought to record yourself and hear what other people have to hear from you. Amen. I mean, I don't want to be that person that's always discouraging others because I'm complaining all the time about everything. I don't want to be that person. I'd rather not say anything. Amen? And so if you need to, you got a phone, it records. Google knows that. Amen? They're recording you. So go ahead and record yourself and then play it back and listen to you. And you see what you sound like. Amen? But if it's critical and harsh, know that that's your heart. That's your heart. And God wants us to be thankful for a few things, doesn't He? What? All things. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Can you give thanks to God for everything going on in your life right now? And if you can't, you have a spiritual problem. Because you're looking at it from a carnal perspective and not God's perspective. Amen? And so I hope that through the message today, you'll be challenged just a little bit. The title of the message today is, Thank Me or Thank God. That's the title, amen? When we give thanks, we are denoting who we give credit to. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. That's why this is so important. For a particular action or thing in our life, how we respond to that and who we give credit to is who we thank for it. If someone holds a door for you, amen, a typical response is, thank you. Why? They just did something nice for you. It was their thought. It was their energy. It was all them. And so you pass through that doorway while they're holding it. You say thank you because you're giving them credit for what they just did for you. Amen? Someone gives you a gift for your birthday. Jenna's got a birthday and an anniversary. She's probably expecting a few gifts, Luke. I'm just thinking. I'm not sure. I don't know how she is and all that, but that's probably the case. Amen? But when we get gifts from people, amen, we say thank you because we acknowledge that they didn't have to do that. They did that because they care for us. They love us. And so they use their resources, their energies, whatever they made it, purchased it, however they did it, and they wrapped that thing up potentially, and they gave that to us. We say thank you because we acknowledge that they did something for us. Being thankful requires that we recognize who rightly deserves the credit. Amen? That is what Thanksgiving is all about. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 11. This is an amazing passage. I think you'll see throughout this text exactly what we're talking about. As you're turning over there, Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll start in verse number 11, but let's ask God to help us now with this message. God, thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you for the time of thanksgiving. Thank you for those that have already given testimonies of thanksgiving. I know many others who, they didn't speak, but yet in their heart they're thankful. They thought of many things they're thankful for. And God, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful, God, that we can come together and that we can have a service centered around thanksgiving. And Lord, we can only do that, just as was mentioned, because of who you are and what you've done in our lives and how you protect us and how you lead us and guide us and have brought us to this point. And so God, help us, Lord, today to be thankful. And God, if we're not, or I'm sure all of us have areas that we're not thankful for, God, I pray that you would challenge us in these areas today. And might we make some connections here in reference to credit and who we deserve to give credit to, honor to whom honor is due. I pray that today we would see some things that would move us in such a way that we would want to give thanksgiving and thanks to you. Thank you, God, now for your working in our lives. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware. This is God, of course, speaking through Moses unto the Israelites before they go into the promised land. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Have you ever forgot the Lord? We'd like to say no, but the reality is we do forget the Lord. We get busy and we go through this and that, and we forget to consider him in some things. It's not meaning forget the Lord, James, as if you're like, you forget who the Lord is. That's not what we're talking about. No, we're talking about forgetting the Lord in the sense we just forget to acknowledge him. We forget to include him. He just, in a sense, slips out of our mind for a little time. We get busy. We think about something else. So that's what this text is saying. Beware that thou, we're in Deuteronomy 8. If you have a Bible, I'd look there. I mean, I'd check what the pastor's actually reading. Make sure he's reading the right book. Amen. King James Bible. Amen. So don't get lazy on me. Amen. Follow along. Amen. By the way, the service goes a whole lot quicker if you engage in it. Amen. I've had a number of people tell me that. They're like, man, being under preaching all that, it used to take forever. But now that I actually pay attention and follow along and I'm tuned in, it's amazing how quick it goes. Amen. Amen. So I encourage you. You want to go quicker? Engage. Follow along. Open up your Bible. Read along. Now, I might miss a word here and there. I don't mean to. Amen. But leave the critique till later. Critique me after the service. Amen. Not during. That'd be a blessing. Amen. But nonetheless, if there's something amiss, you come see me about it. We'll talk through it. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do for one another. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Anybody here going hungry? Like you've not been given enough to eat over the last week, month, year. You've been starving. I'm looking at a lot of you. You ain't starving. I'm guarantee you that. Amen. You're doing well. Doing well. This is talking about a time frame when there's a lot of supply, right? Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses. Everybody doing okay on where they live? Right, heard in a song, place to, you know, sleep, all that's there. Amen, amen. If some of that's lacking, let me know. We'll try to help you. Amen. Hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and to them, that'd be kind of like monetarily speaking, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget thy God, which, this is where it gets good. So he creates the time frame. God is saying to Israel, beware that there not be a time that you kind of remove me from the forethought of your thinking. Beware. Beware that you don't forget, that you don't remove me from your mind at any time. Beware, he says. Lest thine heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord. Thine heart be lifted up. You are exalted. He says, which, don't forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. By the way, that's bondage. For the Christian, the Bible actually describes coming out of Egypt like our time coming out of sin. Amen. I was bound in my sin. Amen. I was a slave to it. I was under it. I had taskmasters over me, just like they did in Egypt, and so did you before you were saved. And aren't you glad that Jesus led you out of your Egypt, led you out of that place of bondage? Amen. Don't forget what he's done for you, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth, the Bible says here, water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee. I love that. So verse 14, which brought thee forth. Verse 15, who led thee. Verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. He says, you went through all of that so God could get you to a place that he can do you good in your latter end. Do you realize, based on how you respond to God and based on how you include God in your life, absolutely determines what God can do in your life. If you are constantly leaving God out, you are restricting his ability by his own word to be involved directly in your lives. Amen. And so he says, I did all of that to prove you and to develop you and to get you to that place that I could be there for you in your latter end. He goes on to say, verse 17, and thou say in thine heart. In other words, when we begin to forget God, this is what happens. Verse 17, that we begin to say in our hearts, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Do you realize that? It's God that gives you and I power to do what we do, which would ultimately bring wealth. You say, I don't believe that. It's for believers only. Amen. But if you don't believe it, I guarantee you this, you're going to wish one day you would have. Because you're going to find yourself in such a place. Well, you may have something, inside you will have nothing. You have nothing. You'll be in a lonely spot, amen. A spot where you realize that it's you and it's all on you and it's all about you. And there's one thing you and I can't do for ourselves. We can't save our own souls, amen. We can't help our spiritual condition. You may be able to manage in this life and make it through with the house and have plenty to eat and do all that you want to do. But one day you're going to wish that it was set up different such that God can be a help to you in your latter end. One day you're going to take your last breath on earth. The time to prepare for that day isn't then. It's today. Isn't that amazing? I wonder, have you acknowledged God in that realm? Have you? If you don't acknowledge God for your daily bread, you also do not acknowledge him in your latter end. Amen? And so this passage warned Israel. It's God that gives us power for all these things. Look at verse number 19. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods. By the way, it's amazing how many people say, oh yeah, I know God, but their life is far, far from. I mean, it would take a serious detective to pull anything out of their life. Oh yeah, here's some evidence that they're a Christian. And yet with their mouth, they say, oh yeah, I'm right with God. Hogwash, that's baloney, amen. Amen. And so the point is that God is saying here, you better beware that you don't forget God daily. Amen. And if you do, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. It amazes me how many people in their time of need, they cry out to God and ask God for help. I'll say this. If you're not crying out to God and asking God for help in a good time, God ain't listening to your prayer in a bad time. Because it's in the plenty time as we acknowledge God when we don't have to. That prepares us. That's what he's saying in this text. That prepares us for that time when we really need God. So if you're not going to cry out to God and acknowledge God when everything is going good, God will not be there for you when everything is going bad. That's what this passage says. And you will be destroyed. That's what this text says. Acknowledging God is vital in our lives. Proverbs 3, many of us know this text. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That word acknowledge means this: to make known what you know is true. To make known. When I acknowledge something, I'm revealing to others that I believe it to be true. I acknowledge to you today that without God, I am nothing. I acknowledge that to you. Amen. I hope you can acknowledge the same thing, that I need God every day of my life. There's no way I can be the husband that I need to be, the father that I need to be, the pastor that I need to be, just a person. There's no way I can be what is required of me without God's involvement every moment of my life. Amen. I acknowledge my ineptness. I acknowledge my inability to run my own life and to fuel my own life. I acknowledge my inability to even know what's right and what's wrong on every level. Amen. Without him. Amen. He is everything to me. I seek him. I need his wisdom. I need his knowledge. I need his help. I need him in my life every moment. Amen. And I don't want to go anywhere without the Lord's presence. Amen. For if I do, I will utterly fail and fall. I acknowledge him today, and I hope you do as well. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul the apostle, the one who was learned in the scriptures and was trained under the best to know the scriptures in his day, he acknowledged this truth that but by the grace of God, if it wasn't for God's power and God's working, he would not be who he was. He counted his whole life before he met Christ dung, a pile of manure. That's what that means. He counted everything that he was able to be and do as just a bunch of refuse. Amen. That's what he counted it. But yet he gave God all the credit for his life. And we can see that when we look at Paul's life. Look at what Paul was able to accomplish and be, and all, as hard as it was, he had the opportunity. He had the opportunity to be in the palace of the highest official on earth in that day in Rome. He had an opportunity to preach to the people of Nero's household, maybe Nero himself. I'm telling you, Paul the apostle was used mightily of God. Why? Because he acknowledged that God was everything to him, and there was nothing about his life that he took credit for. He gave all the credit to God. How about you, my friend? Who do you give credit to for your life? What can you do without God's empowering? I'll tell you what I can do. I can sin and fail. That's all I can do without God. You say, you're a poor, pathetic person. That's all you can do. I can do so much more. You're a liar. You're lying to yourself, amen. And you know it, amen. And one day you're going to realize, as you look in the eyes of God, amen, and you're going to have to realize that you are nothing and that you deserve nothing, just as they're getting ready to cast you out into outer darkness because you can't save your soul. You see, you and I need God. Romans 7:18, we find that Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Do you believe that today? Paul said, "There in me, there's nothing good. Nothing good. The only thing good about me is what God has placed within me. The only thing good in me is Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the things that are fueled by the works of God." Look over at Romans 3 very quickly. Romans 3. "What can you do without God's empowering? I believe we can do nothing of value in the flesh," as Romans 17 says. "I believe we can do nothing of value in the spirit." Romans 3 verses 10 through 17. The Bible says, "As it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one." You know, our world becomes more and more about its themselves, right? People. I just watched another thing. There's this movement out there, these supposed do-gooders that wanna destroy things that have been set up in the fossil fuel industry and all that. They went into this art gallery and took this like sludge and were throwing it on paintings. I ask you a question. Who do they think they are? To destroy someone else's property, whether they disagree with it or not. I got a better question. Is it something good in them that's causing that? Because they sure do think they're good, don't they? But are they? I'll tell you today, they're wicked. Just like every other loudmouth feminist or some masculine, supposed to be masculine guy that lost his masculinity, some skinny jean wearing guy, every other one like that who thinks they're something. Can I say in this world we live, they're nothing. And I would say the same to me, I am nothing. Amen? And I apologize if you wear skinny jeans, I'd just rethink it if I was you. Anyway, the point is that we live in this day today that everybody's getting to this place that they think they're something. And look at what it's doing for us. Look at what it's doing around the world. Look at what that is the result. That every man is getting to the place that they really think they're something. And they're pushing God out of everything. How's that working out for us? It's not, you see. It's not. It won't work for us as a nation. It won't work for us in the world. And it won't work for you as an individual. Why? Because as it is written, Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth." Whoa, whoa, whoa. None that understandeth. That's right. Apart from God, you have no understanding of how things really are. "There's none that seek after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become," what's that word? "Unprofitable." What's that mean? Their life produces nothing of good. "There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, it's a grave. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asps," that's a snake, "is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. The language today is horrid. Their feet are swift to shed blood." Boy, is that true. "Destruction and misery are in their ways." A lot of suicide today. People are so happy today, they're killing themselves over it and killing others over it. Just, I think it was yesterday, had a parade. Someone chose to run a vehicle through it. Ah, that's real nice, ain't it? It's real nice. No, it's wicked is what it is. And this is the direction of our world. And by the way, you're voting for that if you don't acknowledge God. You're voting for that if you don't choose God. That's your vote. You see, it says, "And the way of peace have they not known." Look at Psalm 39. Without God's empowering, there's nothing of value in our flesh. There's nothing of value in our spirit. There's nothing of longevity in my days. My days are numbered. It amazes me how many people, their only hope is, get this, there's a growing number of people that their only hope is that when I die, I go into the grave and that's it. That's their hope. Their only hope is that there's not an afterlife. You've got a couple brain cells missing if you can't tell that there's more to this world than what we physically see. Where do dreams come from? How is it that in your mind you can think and reason? What's deja vu? What's a ghost? There's shows all over the place showing these footage of all that. Listen, ghosts are not natural. If you believe in evolution, if you believe in that, there has to be two for that to be true. There has to be an evolution of the natural realm and an evolution of the spiritual realm. And unless it has happened like that, it's impossible. And by the way, the numbers are against it happening once, let alone twice. You explain to me where the paranormal comes from, because there sure are a whole lot of people that seem to believe it that do not even acknowledge God. You start looking into these things. Where does it come from? And I'll tell you what, there is consciousness. There is a consciousness outside of your physical animation. Where does it come from? If your best hope is, I die and I go in the grave and I'm done, if that's your best hope, you got something wrong with you. Because the evidence says otherwise. You are an eternal being. You will be somewhere forever. Amen. Nothing of longevity apart from God. I have no true longevity. Look at Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. We are one heartbeat away. I got all kinds of time. You don't know that. Take a stroll with me through the graveyard. I've walked through a lot of them. I kind of like them, amen. It's fun to read the history and the different things. It's amazing what you can learn in a cemetery. You look at it, you'll find your age in there. You'll find your birthday in there. I've seen my birthday on headstones. My name wasn't there with it, so I guess I'm still good as far as I'm alive now, right? There's only 365 days, so the chances are you're going to find your birthday. Amen. The point is this. You better take note to know how frail you are. Because they were frail. The next wave of sickness could snuff you out. The next little jump in my car, vroom, vroom, drive down the road, could take you out. The next time walking and someone, just take you out. And that's happening more and more. The next time you upset your good friend, that's happening more and more. I was reading an article, I showed Micah. There's this case, I can't remember where it's at, but there's this case where the DA, which, by the way, they've all lost their minds. There's this DA who called this case a suicide. They killed themselves. This woman was stabbed 22 times, half in the chest, half in the, 10 times in the chest, 10 times in the back, 2 times in the top of her head. 2 have been verified to have happened after her heart stopped. And they said, oh, she killed herself. The family has sued the state to get them to look at it as a homicide. I'm thinking, man, I wonder what high official did that. Anyway, that's the day we live. It could be your close buddy that you said something to that decides, you know what, I don't like what they said. And since I'm my own God, I'm just going to kill him. That's where we're at today. That is where we're at. We are frail. It doesn't take much to snuff one of us out. Have you considered that? Have you considered, some say, oh yeah, I know, I wish I'd die right now. Are you ready? I'm fine with that too. I'm fine to die right now. I know I'm secure, amen. I know I have the promises of God behind me, amen. I know absent from the body, I'll be present with the Lord. Are you sure too? Are you sure? Are you ready? Do you realize how frail life is? Amen. Nothing of longevity is guaranteed to us. It says, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Look over at James 1. James 1, we'll start wrapping this thought up today. I want you to be able to answer the question. In your own life, does your life say, thank me? I've really made myself something. Thank me very much. Is that what your life says? Or does your life say, thank you, God? Because without you, I would be nothing. Because who you thank is who you give credit to for your life. And who you give credit to in your life is who you acknowledge as the one who has empowered your life. Amen. And I hope that that's God today. In James 1, it says, do not err. James 1:16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything good that each of us possess is a direct result of God's giving. Whether you acknowledge it or not, everything good that we have has been given to us from God. Even those that don't acknowledge it still receive good from God. They just won't, in their end, be able to get credit for that. My life, my breath, my mind, my hands, my feet, my dexterity, my abilities, my voice, my ears, my eyes, my wife, my children, my substance, my ministry, my knowledge, my wisdom, my understanding, my ability to articulate truth, my today, my tomorrow, everything I have is a gift from God. Ephesians 5 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. And oh, by the way, if I feel like I'm lacking something, God simply says to me, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. More than things, what we really need is wisdom. In Proverbs, it says wisdom is the principal thing. It's where we start at. We're still in James. Look over at verse number 5 of chapter 1. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, if you don't believe what I'm saying, I mean, that's fine. But would you at least do this? Ask God, God, give me wisdom to know what the truth is. God, show me what's right. You don't offend me if you don't believe what I'm praying. That's fine. Just search it out. I just want to urge you. Don't just leave this matter to nothing. It's too important. Your soul, your life, you are too important to God. God loved you so much. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. You can't just ignore that, amen. So I don't believe that. Then you don't believe history. It's a historic fact. You need to find out why this one named Jesus came, amen. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, my friend, you can't be double-minded on this. It even goes on to talk about those that would be humbled through it or exalted through it. What happens because of that? Look at Psalm 62. We'll look at that as the last passage today, Psalm 62, a glorious passage. In Isaiah 40, it was actually Isaiah that cried out to God for strength, for his strength to be renewed, not to be weary and not faint. It was in Ecclesiastes 9 that it was Solomon who said, "I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding." Listen, no matter who you are, we are all on a level playing ground. Playing field. It doesn't matter who your family is. I am proof to that. Amen. I had nobody that in my lineage that I know that knew God or knew anything of God. The race that we're involved in today has nothing to do with where you've come from, because we've all come from the same place, a place of sin. Do you realize that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, do you know that God's grace is available and it's sufficient? But it can only come to you if you'll acknowledge God. And if you refuse to acknowledge God, then it keeps him from being able to be involved in your life. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Psalm 62 and in verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work." You see, because it's our works which testify of where our heart is and where we are with God. Where are you at with God? Have you acknowledged God? I hope that you've acknowledged him in reference to your need of a Savior. I hope that you've acknowledged yourself a sinner. I hope that you've acknowledged that you could do nothing to save yourself and that you deserve to go to hell. I hope you've acknowledged that. And I hope that you've acknowledged Jesus Christ as the only one. It's only by his name that we can and must be saved. I hope you've acknowledged his work on the cross, his death on the cross, the burial, the resurrection from the grave. I hope that you've acknowledged that that is the only means by which you can be born again, rescued from your sinful condition. And I hope you've acknowledged it to the point that you've called on Christ, repenting of your sin and accepting him completely, him and him alone, for your soul's salvation. I hope that's true. And then I also hope, if you're a Christian, I hope that you've acknowledged that without God you can do nothing. Nothing. And I hope that thought has permeated your heart to where when you get upset and discouraged because things aren't going your way, I hope that you don't turn away from God and look to another, to the weak and beggarly elements of this world, to satisfy something in your heart that you desire more than God. But I hope that you see that today what God wants from us is just to acknowledge him in all things, in everything, in everything. And I hope that you acknowledge it so much that you are rebuked for your complaint. And the pity parties that we have. And I hope that we see today that my only, I guess, position should be that I love God, he loves me, and I acknowledge him in all things, and he has been good to me. Amen. And he has been good to you. Can you say today, I thank God for my life and everything in it, the hard times, the good times, where I find, I thank God that I am where I am today. Or do you more say, I thank me because I'm the only one that can get me out of this mess I'm in. I thank me because I'm who got me here. I thank me because I'm the one that was smart enough to make the decisions to get me where I'm at. Is that you? Because there's a lot of people on earth. That's their posture. They're saying with their life, I thank me because I'm the only one that matters. That's how they live. That's how they the message they're putting forth. I thank me. I hope that there's no one in this room like that today. If there is, there's help. But it'll only come if you'll acknowledge God. You say, I'm just going to stick with me. I think that I have my best interest in mind. You're deceived. You don't realize that. You don't have what it takes to help you out. Good news, though. I know the one that has what you need, and his name is Jesus Christ. But to obtain that, you're going to have to acknowledge him. I hope you have a thankful heart today. I hope that you take this week to spend time away from this world so that you can just get into the Word and acknowledge him for who he is. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness to us. We're undeserving, but we're so thankful. God, you didn't have to die on the cross for us, but you did, and we're thankful that Christ came and died. God, you don't have to be with us day in and day out. You don't have to give us grace. You don't have to be merciful. You don't have to love us like you do, but you do all those things. And we acknowledge it today, and we want to say thank you. We recognize, God, that if we're the ones guiding our own ship, then all we can guide ourselves to is storm after storm after storm. But, oh God, if you'll guide our ship, when there is a storm that comes our way, it's meant for our good, not for our bad. And through it, God, we grow. We grow in the knowledge and grace of Christ and our relationship with you. Thank you, God, for your working. Thank you, God, for all that are here today. Help us to have hearts of thanksgiving. We pray this in Jesus' name.